Nisambulavinaka Pacific Wave listeners, Koroy Hawkins here. Because of COVID-19 lockdown here in New Zealand, we can't bring you our usual daily show, and we're really sorry about that. It stinks, and we'll be back in your feed as soon as we can, but while we can't make our usual shows, it doesn't mean we're not covering Pacific news. Each night, I talk about some of the day's stories with RNZ Night's host, Brian Crump. Here's one of our chats.
Kia ora, Koroy.
Malalele, Brian.
How are you doing?
Not too bad, not too bad.
Hey, are you a tea drinker or a coffee drinker?
My dad is Aussie, so he drank heaps of tea. Yeah. We had one of those stained teas that he said never wash, ruined the taste. It's black, eh?
Right, okay. Yeah, I've got my herbal infusion going here now.
Nice.
Because, you know, there's a limit to how much coffee I can put into the body before it starts to have negative utility.
Yeah, yeah. I didn't start drinking coffee until taking up this job, eh? I mean, well, journalism, this career.
Really?
Yeah.
Journalism is mucking you up.
No, yeah. Kind of need it.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you're surrounded by caffeine addicts, you see. Yeah, we're all terrible around here. You should see the coffee machine folks at RNZ in Wellington. It's like a war zone down there sometimes. Now, getting back to the Pacific, Vanuatu, a court case. Now, was it Vanuatu where we were talking? We were talking about Vanuatu and court cases and MPs.
Yes.
And how they seem to often mix. And there's been a development in the story that you told us about last week, I think.
Yes, yes. This broke on Monday. So this was a major court case, but it happened just before our chat. So I didn't have as much information. So basically, this was the Prime Minister, Bob Loughman, and 18 of his government MPs having had their seats declared vacant earlier this year by the former Speaker. And that's been back and forth in the courts. Basically, they staged walkouts over three consecutive days, unhappy with the Speaker who was sitting at the time. And he ruled them absent for those 3 days, which under Vanuatu law, parliamentary standing orders, are grounds for, if you disrupt the business of parliament in that way, it's grounds for losing your seat. So that's been back and forth in the courts. And on Monday, the Supreme Court made a big ruling on this and ruled that Loughman can now retain his seat, and that the basis of that ruling was that the term absent was a bit vague in the Supreme Court's opinion. So they were saying, like, if we rule someone that turns up for a bit and leaves absent, then what happens every time someone goes for a bathroom break or leaves for some other, we'll have all these MPs losing their seats because they're leaving Parliament for a period. So that was a major ruling, massive crowd outside of court on Monday in Vanuatu, and today the former Speaker, Gracia Shadrach's counsel, have said that they were going to appeal the decision. So, yeah, some developments on the political front. And again, this is all tied in with previously we talked about the President of Vanuatu pardoning former prime ministers of criminal convictions. So all of this mix of political uncertainty in Vanuatu, and talking to our Corey on the ground in Vanuatu today, Dan McGarry, he said that people are all a bit fed up with all of the goings on up and the higher levels of politics.
Yeah, I was wondering what this constant, I guess, litigation means for people's confidence in parliamentarians in general.
Yeah, yeah, it's not a good look. Definitely not a good look. And the one of the quirky things is the president pardoned one of the former prime ministers that the president pardoned has now put his name in the by-election that was called to replace him. So you've got someone who's triggered a by-election by getting a criminal conviction, been pardoned, and now he's going to be potentially standing for the by-election that was meant to replace him.
Do you think there's any possibility of a clean slate, Koroy?
Well, this is the thing. There's been another Vanuatu politician who's come up and said, look, if you're going to pardon some of them, then all of us deserve a clean slate. So he's actually come out and said that he's called him unfair, the president unfair in his decision of who to pardon. Yeah, so pardons are not uncommon in Vanuatu politics.
COVID-19, I'm sorry to have to ask you this, but there has been a lot like here in Aotearoa. There's been a bit of action in parts of the Pacific. What countries have you heard news of today in terms of change on the COVID-19 front?
The newest one we have in the region is New Caledonia, which has been COVID-free the entire time. It's had a really strict border control. They've just had COVID in the community. They had three cases at different locations, and they went into a two-week lockdown at midday on Tuesday. Today, they're saying four people on Lifu Island have also tested positive for COVID-19. Those people are isolating at home. So that's a new one that we've had in the Pacific, is a new country that's sort of starting to see COVID pop up again. Again, there in New Caledonia, only about a third of the population have had the jab. And this latest lockdown is the third one for them after one last year and one in March. So they've just had over 140 COVID-19 cases, but no fatalities. That's the new one in the Pacific. For the worst end of the scale, had another 9 lives lost in French Polynesia. Their death toll's now at 522. Again, almost 400 people have died there since late July when the latest wave began. But they're seeing in this third week of their lockdown, the number of daily fatalities appears to be declining. And the hospital admissions as well seem to have peaked with 331 people reported to be in care, which is a slight drop since yesterday. Fiji still this week, still bad news there. 12 Fijians that have died in the past week of COVID. Their death toll now at 525. Interestingly, the outer islands have more than 300 active cases of COVID-19. And we just heard from a council of chiefs on Benga Island and Fiji. They've taken up things more seriously on their level and are warning anybody who breaches the COVID-19 protocols that they'll be punished. So they've been pretty strict. Talked to one of the ratus on Benga. And they were talking about stopping people from even traveling within villages within their island.
What about Solomons? You know, we were talking about the dry run of a lockdown, and how people were, well, trying to work out whether to abide by that or whether, if they didn't abide by it, even though it wasn't a real lockdown, to still be treated as if they were misbehaving, as if it was a lockdown. Has anything more come from that?
Yeah, no, the authorities are saying that they're calling it a huge success. They reckon they tested all their systems and did everything. Yet to see those cases appear in the courts yet. We'll hear more about that then. But the Solomons had a scare this over the weekend. They had a case of the coronavirus identified in the hospital in Honiara, the capital. But the prime minister has since come out saying that a baby who had flu-like symptoms tested positive for a type of coronavirus, but not COVID-19. Their issue's been actually foreign logging vessels that are still coming in and out of the country getting round logs. There have been crews on board vessels that have tested positive for COVID-19. And there's actually a lot of concern because some of these logging vessels are actually in quite remote areas, and there's a lot of trading that happens between illegal sort of activity between locals going on board the boats to trade, but also sex workers as well illegally accessing foreign vessels. So they're right. Worried that might bring in COVID.
And these are logging ships that come down, and they don't go through the main ports. They go, and how do they get the logs onto the ships?
They're going through the main ports, but they also pick up logs all around the country at the log ponds. So they do end up in the main ports, and under the cover of darkness as well, a lot of the illegal activity happens as well. So yeah,
and that's actually a bit of an issue in Solomon Islands and other Pacific Islands, isn't it? In terms of the rainforest is disappearing because of this hunger from the outside world for timber.
Yeah, no, logging is a major, major problem. I could talk to you for hours.
Yes, we might have to save another day for that, Corey. Yeah, I bet you could. Now, one of the stories that's developing in sport has been a lot of Pacific countries deciding not to take part in the next round of the men's, I don't know if the women's are involved, but certainly the men's sevens in Canada. And so many teams not taking part, one wonders whether the whole thing should be scrapped. And now is Fiji thinking of running a kind of local tournament instead?
Yes, they are. So it'll be the second one if they do run it. So they ran a domestic seven series to help the international teams prepare for the Olympics, which they were quite successful. They gave them a lot of competitive, as you can imagine, the level of quality of talent in Fiji. They were quite competitive tournaments, apparently, and so they prepared them for the Olympic Games, which they went on to win. So the Fiji men's and women's sevens teams are due to resume training in Suva later this month. They've had 6 weeks off after Tokyo. But yeah, with their decision not to go to tournaments in Canada, but also we were talking about competitions all over the world in regard to the seven series being cancelled. They're looking at running these tournaments to help them prepare. So they're aiming to have them ready for Dubai Sevens is the next one they're hoping to participate in. So Dubai's staging back-to-back tournaments in November and December. So they're hoping to take part in that. But the whole World Sevens series has been up in the air. So Fiji Rugby is saying that depending on what is actually confirmed, they will either continue this domestic series, which helps the teams. So I think the international team stays together and they just play against domestic teams in Fiji. But it's a great way sort of to keep that flowing. Although the initial, I think, idea was because Fiji was safe, they could do it. I'm not sure how they're going to manage that in COVID now.
No, not anymore. No. Croy, it's been lovely talking with you again. We'll speak with you again tomorrow evening, I hope.
Malapito, Brian.
Kia ora, Croy. That's Croy Hawkins from the ANZ Pacific team, back with another Pacific Chat at around about 8:15 tomorrow.
That's our Pacific Waves chat with Knights host Brian Crump for today. We'll be back to normal programming as soon as New Zealand comes out of lockdown. Remember, you can listen to us free on Apple, Spotify, iHeart, or any podcast platform. And if you're using Apple, please leave us a rating so others can also find us. Ka kite anō.